Subscribe to TalkLoud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to TalkLoud Radio, sports, nerds and pop culture.
Go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to goingfor2.com's press coverage podcast presented by TalkLoud Radio. You, of course, can subscribe and follow us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, or on TuneIn Radio. Just search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, today's show was supposed to be a fan battle between the New York Giants and the Packers. Unfortunately, my Giant fan was a no-show tonight, so... Tim Strobel, who was going to be our Packers fan to come on and battle the Giants fan, he has agreed to just come on with me and talk some playoffs, talk a little bit of a preview of all four games. He is a Packers fan, but he's a football fan at heart, so he knows his stuff. He actually came on at the beginning of the season to do some previews with me. He actually was part of the Lost podcast, as we call it here at Talk Loud Radio. We did a draft, an NFL draft preview show that was an hour and a half long, that once we finished it, I went to upload the audio and it was destroyed. So all of our great draft analysis that, you know, pre-draft analysis didn't sort of show up on the podcast. We made some great calls on that podcast too, actually predicted the Paxton Lynch trade. But unfortunately, the audio was lost and Tim was part of that podcast. So he has been on the show a couple times. He is in a group with me called DFS Roundtable. You can follow them on Facebook. Just search DFS Roundtable. If you play Daily Fantasy, it's a great group. A lot of advice in there. A couple big players is in Daily Fantasy giving advice on who to play every night. So some good stuff there. But I'm not going to tie up most of the time here in the intro because me and Tim did talk for a little while. This is pre-recorded. The conversation with me and Tim's pre-recorded, so I'm going to go ahead and just jump into a commercial, and then when we come back, I'll have Tim on.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are here with Tim Strobel of the DFS Roundtable here today to talk some NFL playoffs. Now, today's podcast was supposed to be a fan battle between Tim, who's a Packers fan, and the Giants fan, but unfortunately, the Giants fan flaked on us, so it's just going to be a playoff preview tonight. We're going to look at all four games and just get Tim's opinion on how he thinks things might go. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How about yourself?
Not too bad. A little upset that my Giants fan flaked on me, but we'll make the best of it.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to a great weekend of football. How about yourself?
Yes, definitely. Unfortunately, I have to work as usual, but I do look forward to watching the late game. I will be able to catch that one. And then on Sunday, I should catch, if not all the Packers game, the majority of it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know I am.
All right, well, let's go ahead and just jump right into these games here. We'll start with the first one here. We've got the Oakland Raiders going to the Houston Texans, which
It's pretty much a battle of, we got third string quarterback for the Raiders now. Unfortunately, after a great season, Derek Carr gets hurt, and then their backup gets hurt. So they're on Connor Cook now, a rookie quarterback, and going up against the former starter, demoted Brock Osweiler, who looks more like a third string quarterback. At least he did most of the season. So that's really the big story going in. What do you think of the two quarterbacks starting this game?
Yeah, it's just really sad. This might be two of the worst quarterbacks to ever start against each other in a playoff game. I mean, Connor Cook, it's amazing to say that the third string rookie quarterback on the Oakland Raiders looks better than the guy that they just gave $72 million to. But there's a lot of people that think Connor Cook can win this game on the road at Houston.
Yeah, I agree. I unfortunately missed the game that Connor Cook came and played. But from what I heard, he actually did pretty decently against a really good defense. And, of course, the Texans have a really good defense, so he's going to need some of that same sort of magic to overcome, you know, what they've lost. Now, I think offensively, I think the Raiders have enough tools to at least get past Houston. I think, you know, they got a good running game. They got some good receivers. So Connor Cook's job, I think, is pretty much don't turn the ball over. Now, on the defensive side of things, you know, the Texans have a distinct advantage there. They've got, I believe, one of the top defenses in the NFL, especially against the pass. And then the Raiders, of course, you know, they struggled a bit defensively, but they have some good names over there, some young guys that could, you know, potentially make some big plays. How do you see the defensive matchup going?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, the Texans' defense at home definitely have a huge advantage here. Jadeveon Clowney, full participant. Brian Cushing, full participant in practice. They should have all of their guys ready this week, ready for this game. And, you know, both sides go into this game knowing what they have the situation at quarterback. They know that they can't give up points. Their offense, this is not going to be a blowout. This is going to be a grinded out, you know, game where you know, a couple defensive plays here or there are going to make or break this game. I mean, I believe that Vegas currently has it as a, you know, Houston has a 4-point advantage, but I mean, it's 4 points. You know, it could go either way. Ultimately, I think that if Jadeveon Clowney, you know, this could be a big game for him if he really wants to prove that he is that that next guy in Houston. This is really going to be a spot for him to come out. Same thing with Khalil Mack on the other side. I mean, these are two elite defensive players in the prime of their careers going up against each other. I mean, you know, their teams are anyway. I mean, I think we both agree whichever team wins here is going to lose in the next round. Either one is going to be one and done. But both teams are playing for a lot of pride here. Both, you know, especially the Raiders had an amazing season until Carr went down. And, you know, they obviously had, you know, have high hopes. So they both teams really want to win this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that they're going to be one and done. I don't think they can compete at the next in the next round with the quarterbacking that they have, unless for some reason Brock Osweiler becomes a different quarterback, or if this rookie quarterback somehow gains enough experience in these two games to put something together. But I highly doubt that they can compete with either the Patriots or the Chiefs in the next round. Now, as far as the Lions and Seahawks go, this is an interesting game that I know. You know, you were paying a lot of attention to last week's game with the Packers and Lions, basically for the chance to either be at home playing the Giants, which you won that game, so you get the home game, or you were going to go to Seattle. The Lions lost, so of course they're going to Seattle, which is one of the hardest places to play. But Seattle hasn't looked like Seattle over the last few weeks. What do you see this game looking like?
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, like you said, as a Packer fan, I'm very happy that we are not on the road at Seattle this week. That is not a place that my Packers have traditionally played well. It's not a place that most teams play well. For whatever reason, the Seattle Seahawks with the crowd or, you know, whatever it is just next level at home. And I agree with you. They have shown just terrible games. I mean, Russell Wilson, 5 turnovers against my Packers a few weeks ago at Lambeau. But most of their bad games at Tampa Bay, at Green Bay. So they obviously get this one at home. They're 8-point favorites. I think that they do win this game. But, I mean, they're not going to give up. They obviously lost a hard-fought game at Lambeau the other night. They've been one of the better teams in the NFC this year. And Seattle, like you said, has shown a lot of weakness. I mean, even though it's an 8-point spread, I don't think Seattle is going to run away with this game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to the end. I would be genuinely shocked if either one of these teams blew out the other.
I'm definitely with you on the blowout factor. I don't think either team has enough to pull away from the other. Now, I did see a stat when I was watching that Packers game, of course, because you know my wife's a huge Packers fan, so I had to sit down and watch that game that night. But I saw a stat come on the screen that I wasn't even aware of. But Matthew Stafford, I think, either tied or broke the record for fourth quarter comebacks. I think he tied or broke Peyton Manning's former record because he had a bunch of, you know, pretty amazing fourth quarter comebacks throughout the season here. And I think if Seattle is in that sort of close, you know, less than a touchdown type game, what do you think of Stafford in that sort of pressure role coming down the end there?
Well, I agree with you there. He's had just an amazing season when it comes to pulling games out in the fourth quarter. But I'm going to go back to what we started with originally, and this is on the road at Seattle. If this was a home game against, you know, even against the Seahawks, I would say, yeah, I could give it to him. But I got to give it to the defense in the end. If it comes down to Matthew Stafford having to make one final drive, you know, in CenturyLink Field to win the game, I don't know that I think he does it. I mean, I think that there are some quarterbacks in that situation that would be able to pull that drive out. And don't get me wrong, I said Stafford has looked great for huge chunks of this season. But where they are right now, where that team is right now, you know, I just don't see him being able to put together one of those epic fourth quarter drives that he's been known for this season.
All right, well, let me give you a hypothetical here. Let's say you're a Lions fan or even a Lions, you know, coach. If given the opportunity to, you know, come down towards the end of the game and we're less than a touchdown, maybe just a field goal game, would you rather have your Lions offense on the field with a chance to win the game, or would you rather have your Lions defense on the field with a 3-point lead and a chance to hold the game up against that Russell Wilson offense? Which would you prefer?
I'd rather them have to hold a lead. I really would. I think that even though the defense isn't great, there's nothing about that offense that leads me to believe that they're going to go win that game either. I mean, Russell Wilson has had some magic moments. Obviously, he won a ring off, you know, a couple of magic moments. And he's definitely a guy that I especially could see at home going in there and leading a game-winning drive. But if you're asking me, would I rather, you know, have the 3-point lead and hope that my defense can pull off one final drive? Yeah, I think that I'd rather put my defense back on the field against this Seattle offense. They don't scare me at all. I mean, you saw they had 5 points at Tampa Bay, and two of them were from a freak safety. So this is not a team that I'm scared is just going to go out there, drive down the field, and beat me. You know, Detroit, like I said, it's not a great defense. They're one of the worst in the league, I think, against quarterbacks. But, you know, this is not a great team.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's nothing about this team that says I would be scared to put my defense out there one more time.
Right. Yeah, I think if maybe this game was at home, it'd be different. But I think if you put Matthew Stafford in a 2-minute warning situation with the quote unquote 12th man, you know, screaming as loud as they can in that stadium, I think it's a tough situation to put any quarterback in. I think Matthew Stafford, I don't know if he has the gumption to lead his team down there to get that. I mean, he's done it, you know, a couple times this year, you know, more than anybody else apparently, but that's a tough situation to put them in. I think you're right. I think I'd rather have my defense on the field, even if they're not a great defense, with a lead, and just say, you know, go out there and just do what you can to hold them. I think either scenario would be a tough scenario for the Lions, but I think I would prefer to have my defense out there as well.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I mean, these teams know going in, you know, this is it. This is all they have to play for. So, I mean, they're not feeling sorry for themselves right now. They're going into this game saying that they can win it. And so I imagine that, you know, like you said, this game's going to be close down until the end. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it came down to one final Russell Wilson fourth quarter drive. And, you know, if they have a lead, then I say they win it. But if it's on his shoulders, man, I could, I could see Detroit pulling an upset here. I could. I really think Seattle wins it, but I tell you what I would say is I would bet Detroit in the points if I was a betting man. I don't think that it's going to be 8 points.
Yeah, I agree. I think just with the both teams are built, I don't think this is going to be any kind of blowout. The Seahawks, man, I bet you they'd be really nervous coming down if they had to come up to that kicker. I mean, he had a rough season. I think he was responsible for that tie with Arizona and then responsible for the loss, basically, because he missed that field goal after that great drive to, you know, go down and tie it up. He has had a rough season. I think he's missed like 6 or 7 extra points this year. So I think if the Seahawks come down to that field goal to win or tie the game, they're going to be holding their breath for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Hauschka was actually a really good kicker last year. And I'm not quite sure why he regressed so much season to season. But you're right. I mean, you know, I don't think that they ever had any plans of necessarily getting rid of him. But I agree with you. If this came down to a Blair Walsh type situation where he had to make a kick to win the game, there's a lot of fans in that stadium covering their eyes.
Exactly. Now, I didn't get your pick on that first game, the Raiders-Texans. Who you got in that game?
I'm going to go ahead and take the home team. I think Houston wins it by field goal.
All right. And then in this, the Lions-Seattle, you said you think Seattle gets this game?
I do. I think that it's close, but again, you know, 3-4 points to Seattle.
All right. Good deal. Now, circling back, I just wanted to ask you something I forgot to ask you in that first game. What do you think of the situation where the 12-4 Oakland Raiders have to go on the road to play a 9-7 team? Do you think the NFL needs to switch that seeding so that the better team with the better record gets the home team or the home game and not the division winner? Or do you like the way it is?
No, I agree. I think they really need to look into changing it. I mean, I'm all for divisions. You know, we won our division, great, but I don't know that that necessarily entitles you to a home playoff game. And this is, I mean, there's been a couple of situations in the last couple of years where a really strong team went on the road to an inferior opponent. And obviously they should win those games. So, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily going to change the outcome here, but I agree with you. I think that Oakland would be favored if this game was at home. I think a big part of it is the fact that Houston gets this game and they obviously had the better season. I do think that they should get this game at home. I do.
Yeah, I agree. I think I brought this up on my last podcast, too, and it was just last season, actually, that this happened again in the same scenario as the Texans at 9-7 getting the home game with the Chiefs coming to town. And, of course, the Chiefs came in there and just shellacked them like 30-0.
Right.
But a different scenario, let's just say that those situations were reversed and you had the Texans with the better record going to Kansas City and then there was weather involved. All of a sudden, that game becomes a whole different game because weather changes everything, sort of evens the playing field. So I think in that situation, I think that the home field advantage becomes a huge, you know, disadvantage if you're the one with the better record going on the road.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that, like you said, it obviously a lot of it depends not only on the stadium and the crowd, but the weather. In Houston, there isn't really any weather. It's a dome stadium, obviously, so that's not one thing that they're going to have to deal with. But you're right. There would absolutely be a situation, very well could be a situation, where it's the opposite, where a great team that's performed better throughout the year, have to go on the road to a tough weather environment that they probably shouldn't have to go into.
Yeah, I think the NFL needs to make that change quickly because I think 2 years in a row this has happened. So I think it's becoming a trend that needs to change. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the Sunday games. Of course, the early game is the surprising Dolphins that looked like they were one of the worst teams in the league at the beginning of the season. Suddenly went on this huge run, got themselves into the playoffs, and they're going to the Steelers. They actually beat the Steelers in the regular season in their place. But you and I both know we play fantasy football, we play DFS. Big Ben at home, a different quarterback completely. I mean, I think his touchdown to interception ratio is ridiculous at home compared to what on the road. What does the Dolphins need to do, you think, to go into the Steel City here and get a victory?
Well, I think a big part of that relies on their quarterback. I mean, as of right now, I see that Ryan Tannehill is not set to, I mean, he did not participate, but he's listed as questionable. I don't know if there's any, you know, question that he might play in this game, but I think that's a big part of it. I mean, they don't really want to go into Pittsburgh with Matt Moore at quarterback. I think that's number one. And even if they do get their quarterback, I don't think that there's any real question here that that, you know, that they have a real, you know, that they're going to go in there with a real shot. I mean, like I said, all these teams, these are all playoff teams. They're all good teams. They all know what's at stake here. But like you said, I mean, it's Big Ben, it's Antonio Brown, it's Le'Veon Bell at home. That, you know, that terrible towel's going to be waving. That crowd's going to be crazy. I don't see how Miami goes in and wins this game. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Jarvis Landry. I loved him coming out of LSU. He's an outstanding receiver. But I mean, he's not Antonio Brown on the other side, you know. I just don't see it happening. Jay Ajayi, I will be the first one to raise in my hand and say I was wrong about him this year. I drafted him. I kept him for a couple weeks. And then I just thought, okay, this guy's got nothing. And I let him go. I heard the coaching staff wasn't interested in him. And he turned a corner, obviously. He was one of the best running backs in the league for 6-7 weeks during the season there. So, I mean, if there is any glimmer of hope for Dolphins fans out there that the Dolphins can win this game, I think it's on the back of Jay Ajayi. He's got to have one of those next level games.
I agree 100%. Actually, he was my sort of key to the victory for the Dolphins is what he can do. I think in that first game, he had over 200 yards rushing. He had 2 touchdowns. He had like 157-yard run or something ridiculous. You know, he pretty much beat the Steelers on his own. And I think he's going to need that kind of game in order to give the Dolphins any kind of shot to beat Big Ben. Because if the Dolphins, for some reason, can't run the ball and they can't keep the ball out of the, you know, Big Ben's hands, I think the scores can get to the point where they can't keep up. They have to basically play cowboy ball and control the clock, you know, control the time of possession, keep Big Ben, that powerful offense, off the field and keep the scoring as low as possible. If the Steelers get 35 points, I think they get this game.
I agree. I mean, the game, the week 6 game that you mentioned was kind of the Jay Ajayi coming out party. You know, 25 rushes, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he hadn't had a game, you know, with more than 100 yards, I believe, up to that point. So I definitely think that they're going to go into this game with a little bit more of an idea of what, you know, they're going to be throwing at him. But I still think that he has a real good game here. I mean, the Steelers have not been a great team against the rush. This is not your old Steelers, you know, steel curtain where nobody ran on them and you had to try and throw over the top. I mean, they can give up some yards on the ground. So, I still have Pittsburgh. I still have them as a big favorite, a touchdown favorite at least. I mean, Vegas has it as 10 points. I don't know if I would go that far, but I wouldn't be surprised either. This one is one of the few games and maybe the only game this weekend that I could see as a blowout. It's a 10-point spread, obviously, so Vegas is seeing it as a blowout, but, I mean, I could see it being much more than that.
I agree.
15,
I think
20 points.
I think the Dolphins, they haven't been in the playoffs, I believe, since 2007, so there's not very much experience over there. And then they don't have their quarterback. Now, Matt Moore does bring something to the table that Tannehill doesn't. That's the deep ball. I think Tannehill has one of the lowest yards per completion in the league, and he's had it, you know, for his entire career. I think he completes something ridiculous like a 7-yard pass as on average, whereas Matt Moore has the bigger arm. I think he's not afraid to take the deep shot, so that does sort of give Pittsburgh a little bit of pause. You know, they can't just stack the box, so Matt Moore does bring it to the table. I think they're going to have to take their shots to at least soften that defense up a little bit, so that's their only shot really to beat the Steelers. But I think overall, I think the Steelers have the playoff experience. They're definitely a more talented team overall. They do struggle defensively, but I don't think it's going to hurt them so much against this Dolphins defense that's kind of one-dimensional. So I, too, had the Steelers winning this one pretty big.
Yeah, I agree. And on that note, we, like you said, we haven't talked a whole lot of DFS so far on this show, just mainly because up until this point, I don't think there's a whole lot of players that I would particularly target. There are obviously some big name players in this game, but I'm going to go to another name. If they're other than Jay Ajayi, the other way I can kind of see Miami pulling this game off, like you said, is if they have a couple of deep shots down the field. So one name that I've taken a couple looks at this week is Kenny Stills. He seems to clearly be their deep role guy. So if you do play, you know, daily fantasy, you're in some kind of a playoff challenge like that where you pick individual players, I think one guy to keep your eye on here is going to be Kenny Stills, because if there is any chance that Miami keeps this close, or it's going to be after taking a deep shot or two. So I think that that's one name just to kind of keep your eye on here, other than obviously the big guys.
Right. I'm definitely with you on that. I think that the Dolphins originally brought Kenny Stills in from New Orleans, where he was that sort of deep threat. He was that number three receiver in New Orleans, and he was just their deep threat guy. They brought him into Miami to kind of be that guy, but, you know, Tannehill is basically Alex Smith on the East Coast, Mr. Dink and Dunk. He didn't take those shots, where I think Matt Moore, like I said, you know, he's more apt to take those big shots, and Kenny Stills is that guy they're looking for. So I think you're right on there. I think he's kind of boom or bust, but if you're looking for that sort of lottery ticket, I think he's definitely a way to go.
Yep, agree 100%.
All right, now let's get into the game that I know you prepared for this fan battle thing that unfortunately did not come to fruition. But we got the New York Giants going to your Green Bay Packers. Let's go ahead and start with the New York side of things on their offense. Their offense has been fairly inconsistent most of the year. They don't have much of a running game. Eli Manning has become more of a liability, but it is the playoffs. We know what Eli is capable of. He's got Odell Beckham there, one of the biggest play receivers in the game. How do you see this offense matching up with your Packers defense?
Well, I honestly think that if I was a New York Giants fan, this probably would have been my ideal matchup. And part of that is the fact that what they're really good at is what we struggle with, and what they struggle with is what we're really good at. The Green Bay Packers are one of the top teams in the league against the run. And it just so happens, like you said, the Giants do not have a great running game. Rashad Jennings, Paul Perkins, these are not guys that I see just running over the Green Bay Packers. I don't see it. It's going to be on the arm of Eli Manning. And you're right. He has a great, you know, team of receivers there. You know, one of the big keys to this game, I think, is going to be those wide receivers against our corners. I mean, the Green Bay Packers cornerback, the whole secondary is just banged up. They've been banged up all year. We lost Rollins last week. I mean, with the concussion, I don't see how he makes it back for this game. And so we're going to have a lot of Micah Hyde in the backfield. And I mean, in the secondary. And I just, that against Odell Beckham, it scares the crap out of me. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he's that guy where he only needs one play. He's not, you know, Kenny Stills, where you're throwing a lottery ticket out there. He is eligible to go deep on any given play. I mean, I think it was just, a week or two when they played the Cowboys, right? He caught a slant pass and took it to the house. It's like 67 yards, which is a typical play that they run, you know, 30 times a game. But he's just got that kind of ability. And I think that's, I mean, Giants are, I believe, 26th in points. They average something like 19 a game. The Packers are, I think, fourth at 27 points per game. I mean, they're obviously at home. Like you said, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, two of the biggest home split quarterbacks. Obviously, the third on that list is Drew Brees. In terms of home road splits, Aaron Rodgers, like I said, is not the same guy on the road. I said earlier, I'm very happy this game that we beat Detroit so we could get this game at home, because they're going to need to score. I mean, I don't see us holding down the Giants receivers the whole game. This is going to be a situation where we're going to have to score to keep up. I keep saying we, but you know what I mean. The Packers are going to have to score to keep up, because this, I've been pulling this team, you know, beginning of the year, we did our preseason previews. I had this team at 13-3. Obviously that isn't the situation that happened, but and I'm very happy with the way things turned out. We had a lot of injuries that, you know, popped up throughout the year. I mean, everybody does, but I mean, there are a lot of things didn't go the way that we expected them to go, but to still be, you know, at home in the playoffs, you know, fighting for a real shot in this conference is as much as you could hope for, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Packers, you know, sort of did it the right way. They didn't play particularly well in the beginning of the season, but they're playing well now, and that's all you really want going into the playoffs, is to be playing hot, because, you know, the team you're playing has been sort of the poster boy for that, you know, going into the playoffs, getting hot, and then just running the table. They did it twice, you know, in 07 and 2011, the Giants, you know, went in, I believe it, like 9-7 or 10-6, and of course won the Super Bowl that year. So the Packers are sort of in that spot. You know, they are division winners. They're not going in as a wild card, like the, I guess they're wild card technically, but they're, you know, a division winner. So they're going to go in and, you know, try to take that sort of giant step to get into the Super Bowl by going through the wild card weekend. Now let's look at the offensive side of the Packers. Of course, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers, you know, somewhere in the middle of the season, everyone's, you know, what's wrong with Rodgers? What's wrong with the Packers? Where's this offense that we, you know, we've come used to seeing, you know, what happened to Rodgers? And now all of a sudden he's, you know, in the MVP discussion, you know, having a great season, you know, ending the season really well. How do they match up with this Giants defense that with all these free agents that they brought in have turned into a really great defense?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the New York Giants, I mean, obviously they went out in the offseason. They spent a lot of money. It could have gone either way for them. We've seen plenty of situations where teams go out and overpay for high-priced free agents, and it doesn't work out for them. But the Giants, in a lot of ways, knew what they were doing on this one. You know, I mean, some of the biggest one I think that comes to mind for me is Janoris Jenkins in their secondary. He's really solidified for them what was not a great secondary. And Giants used to be a team you could throw the ball on, and they're not anymore. I mean, obviously Olivier Vernon is one of the first names that comes to mind as well. But the Giants have kind of always been known for their pass rush. They've built guys, like you said, they have two rings off the back of their pass rush. But what they've never been a team that could do is stop the pass. And so I think that a big key to this game actually is whether or not Janoris Jenkins plays. He was limited in practice today, and he's their big guy. He's the guy that they're going to stick on Jordy Nelson. He's going to say, go out there and take Jordy out of this game and make him have to beat us some other way. You know, if Aaron Rodgers beats the New York Giants on the back of Geronimo Allison, they're going to take that chance, okay? They're going to take that chance. So I think that's a big part of it. I mean, when you get to this point in the season, every team is banged up. But when you're talking about injuries to major key players like that, it's going to be what makes or breaks this game. They match up very well with what the Packers do. I mean, they're going to try and keep Aaron Rodgers in the pocket. They're going to try and make him, you know, throw the ball quickly. And they're going to play a lot of man-to-man defense because I think that they match up very well with what the Packers do. I don't see, like I said, they're fourth in points. They average 27 points a game. But I don't see this being a game where they're going to score, you know, more than 27. I think this is a 24-21 type game. And it's going to come down to the end.
What's your thoughts on the Packers run game with you basically have wide receivers now running out of the backfield? You have a guy brought in that was just, you know, sort of a short yardage guy getting all these carries now. Do you think they could run on this Giants defense?
I don't, but I don't necessarily know that they need to. I agree. Going into the year, I was very high on Eddie Lacy. I felt like he had turned a corner. It was a contract year. He knew what he had to do to get this team going in the right direction. And obviously that didn't happen. I think it was amazing that they looked at Ty Montgomery and said, we're going to take this whole role that we've been given and completely change it. We're going to make you a feature like every down back. And originally he started just as a third down pack. They were using, you know, running a ton of shotgun and throwing those short passes and letting him run the field that way. But they've showed they will line up and, you know, and let him run the ball. And I'm really interested in that. I mean, Christian Michael, like you said, he's a two down back. He's somebody they brought in more as an insurance policy. I don't particularly think that he's going to make or break this game, but Ty Montgomery very well could. I don't know how particularly great he will be on the ground. I don't see him having a game like he had a couple weeks ago where he's at 150 yards rushing. But could I see a game where he had, you know, 80, 90 yards rushing and 89 yards receiving? Absolutely. He's kind of their do-everything guy right now.
Yeah, one of the great coaching moves, I think, of the entire year is moving him to the running back position. I think when we first all heard that, we think, okay, he's just going to be back in the backfield running, you know, receiving routes. But they're actually handing him the ball off on first and second down and basically saying, you know, you're a running back now, even though you're wearing number, I think he's 88, I believe.
And he is 88. Yeah. And, you know, he's 225 pounds. He's somebody that's played running back before in his career. So it's not like it's completely new to him, but you're right. I mean, they drafted him and developed him as a wide receiver. And due to a situation where they were just looking for talent on the roster, and I think Aaron Rodgers was the one who kind of put in a word for him and said, hey, you know, we're not getting nearly enough usage as this guy as we can. And kind of spoke up on his behalf and said, let's see what we can do. And They put him in a few packages here and there, and next thing you know, like you said, they're handing the ball off to him.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty pretty amazing in that Lions game I was watching. The announcers kept comparing him and his vision to Le'Veon Bell, which is a pretty favorable comparison. If you, you know, being compared as a former wide receiver at the beginning of the year, you're being compared to one of the best running backs in the league. So I thought that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I think we were listening to the same commentary there, because I was thinking the same, is that, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is one of the top, what, two, three backs in the league. For your, you know, back who was converted this year, really, to be put in that same kind of class with his vision and his patience is, you know, more than you could have ever asked for. I mean, what he's provided for this team this year has, you know, been one of the biggest reasons that they're still alive. I mean, obviously the quarterback play of Rodgers is front and center, and that's why he's in the MVP discussion. But I mean, second to that, and most improved player, I think you got to look at Ty Montgomery there. And this team would not be where they are right now without Ty Montgomery. And you're right. I think that was one of the biggest moves of the year. One of the, we look back on this year, why did the Green Bay Packers make the playoffs? And a big reason for that, Ty Montgomery.
Agreed. All right. So looking at the eight teams that are here in the wild card weekend, let's go one AFC and one NFC team that you feel has the best chance to basically run the table and get to the big game. Do one AFC, and I'm assuming your NFC is going to be the Packers, but I want your opinion on both.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I am going to go with the Packers, but I'm going to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I said, going in, I don't see Oakland, Houston, or Miami moving past the next round. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of those teams that I think give you the best chance. They have the weapons. You know, obviously every game at this point out that they play is going to be on the road. But they've shown in the past that they can play with New England. You know, obviously, the thing about Ben, as we know, is his home road splits, right? And if he has to go on the road in one of these, you know, playoff games, then there's always a chance that he just lays down an absolute stinker. But with that team, the way it's constructed, they're able to go out and score points on anybody. I mean, if they have to go in New England, then I don't know that there's a whole lot of teams that I could say in the AFC can go on the road at New England and win a ball game. And I think the Steelers could do it.
Is there any scenario? I don't have the seating in front of me. How would the Steelers have to get to Kansas City? What would have to happen?
I don't have the bracket in front of me either. All right. To be able to answer that.
So let's just assume that they go to Kansas City. You think they have a chance to beat Kansas City in their place?
No, I don't. I actually think that the matchup against the Patriots is more favorable for them than the Chiefs, because I think that even though the Chiefs give up a lot of passing yards, especially the deep pass, I feel like it's the more of the environment that Big Ben tends to struggle on the road. I mean, Arrowhead is another deal. You know, it's one of the top, what, five venues in football. And if you're in a situation where you're a team on the road, especially if they get down, you know, I just don't see him being able to lead a comeback in that type of an environment.
Okay. All right. Let's go look at the NFC now. Of course, your pick, like you said, was the Packers. Do you have a preference as to what team you would play? I'm not even sure if you have the option, as you're the four seed. So
yeah, so we're going to Dallas if we win. As you know, I live in Dallas. My friends that are, I even had a guy locally. I always tell the story of my local taco guy. I love tacos. Part of living in Texas, I eat a lot of tacos. And the local taco guy before the year said, he told me, he said, I was worried about it. He calls him Tony Tortilla, Tony Romo, Tony Tortilla, because he says that he's softer than one of his tortillas. And he told me that was the biggest worry about his going into the year. And obviously, Dak Prescott stepped up and led that team in 13-3 and the number one overall seed. It's one of the great stories in the NFL this year. But he told me this past weekend, he goes, just please beat the Giants, because there's a lot of people in the city that, you know, they've already lost to them twice this year. Two of their three losses were against the Giants, you know, not counting the Philly loss, which they benched most of their starters for. So really the only team they lost to all year is the Giants. And that's the team that gives the locals here, I think, the most worry. So I know they would prefer that the Packers win and have to come here, because they had already beaten the Packers this year. But to me, even if the Packers had the option, I'd still rather play the Cowboys. I think that we had already played the Falcons on the road this year. I believe it was 33-32. We kept it close all game. And that was kind of before Aaron Rodgers hit his stride, before Jordy hit his stride, before we knew what we had in Ty Montgomery. So I'm not saying I would be scared to go into the Georgia Dome and play the Falcons, but I think the team that we match up better with is the Cowboys. You know, they obviously have a great running game. You know, we didn't show what our rush could defense could do in Green Bay, but I think part of that was game flow. They got up early, weren't able to put any points on the board, and they just ran the ball down our throats. So I think a part of it is for the revenge factor. I want to shove it back in all these local Cowboys fans' face that they wanted the Giants so bad, or they were so scared of the Giants. Bring on the Packers, and I may have to empty the bank account for a ticket. I was already looking on Ticketmaster earlier what it was going to cost me to go to that game if Green Bay advances, and I'm going to buy a ticket. I don't know what it costs, but I'm going to buy a ticket.
Let me ask you,
I'm going to be there.
Are you going into Jerry World with your Packers jersey on?
Oh, I will be wearing my Rodgers jersey. There's no doubt about it. I fully expect beer and hot dogs and whatever else to get thrown on me, but yeah, I'm going to represent my team. I've already been to a game at Cowboys Stadium before. I wore all my Packers gear for that. They won that game. One of the most memorable experiences of my whole life. Half the crowd left at halftime because it was a blowout, or so they thought. And the second half, it was about 50-50 Packer fans, and you could hear "Go Pack, Go" chants all the way across the stadium. So,
nice.
You know, yeah, I've got one of the best traveling fan bases in the country. I know there's going to be a number of Packer fans there, and I'm relying on them to keep me out of harm's way a little bit. I don't mind a little trash talk. Like I said, you know, I throw a little something at me, but you know, as long as I don't end up on any of those videos you see on YouTube, I think I'll be fine.
Nice. All right, let's take the Packers out of this equation. Just from an entertainment, sort of a fan standpoint, you know, from an NFL wanting ratings standpoint, which Super Bowl would you want to see? Like, which two teams, not including the Packers, because I know you'd pick them to be in there, of course, but give me two teams that if they're not in there that you want to see in Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, I know that if the NFL had its way, it's going to be the Cowboys. I mean, they have just been a ratings monster this year. They've broken all kinds of records. And I think it's, I hate to say this because I can't stand them as a franchise, but I feel like it's good. The Cowboys are one of those teams where it's kind of good for the sport when they're in it. So if my Packers aren't representing the NFC, I hate to say it, but I'd kind of rather it be the Cowboys. I mean, Matt Ryan is my MVP pick. I think he's earned it this year. I don't know that he's probably ever going to have a situation where he have a better chance at a title than this year. But I don't see it happening. I think that entertainment wise, the Falcons and the Packers, I think, are the two most entertaining teams. But what team would I think give you the best Super Bowl? I think that it's going to be the Cowboys and the Patriots. So if it can't be my if it's not Packers Patriots, then I think it's going to be Cowboys Patriots.
Yeah, what a game that Cowboys Patriots would be. I mean, talking about two of the biggest sort of ratings monsters. You got the Patriots, of course, with Tom Brady and all of that that goes along with that. And you got, quote unquote, the America's team and the Cowboys. I had to imagine the NFL is secretly hoping for that. I don't know if Goodell wants to see Tom Brady win a Super Bowl after the suspension and the whole Deflategate thing, but what kind of storylines would they be coming out of that game for sure?
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you. It probably would not be his first choice, but the NFL's ratings have been down overall all year. You know, they need that ratings boost. You know, don't get me wrong. If it's Packers and Patriots or, you know, a couple of other different situations, I still see the ratings being huge. But nothing's going to draw like Cowboys Patriots. It would be one of the highest viewed Super Bowls of all time. So yeah, the NFL is absolutely licking their chops that the Cowboys and the Patriots are the two number one seeds this year.
What would be your worst Super Bowl? Two teams, and we'll include the wild card weekend. If one of these teams were to run the table, what would be the worst Super Bowl that you would probably not even watch?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm a pretty big football fan. It would take a lot for me not to watch it. But if somehow, like if Oakland if Oakland somehow made it through, because I mean, obviously the Chiefs are their division rival, right? So say Oakland goes into Houston, wins that game, not out of the realm of possibility. They go into Arrowhead. It's a divisional game. They know each other very well. Somehow they manage to pull out a victory, right? Then they go into Foxborough, and for whatever reason, Tom Brady just has the worst game of his career, and Oakland makes the Super Bowl. If you put Oakland against anybody, I'm probably not watching it. So let's just say Seattle, right? Because I think if it's not the Cowboys and it's not the Packers, the best team that probably has a chance out of the NFC, even more so than the Falcons, I say, is the Seahawks. They've been there before. They have the defense. You know, defense wins championships, not offense. As much as I love Matt Ryan and I love that Falcons offense, I think that if it's not the Packers and it's not the Cowboys, it's going to be the Seahawks. So if you're telling me it's a Seahawks-Raiders Super Bowl, this might be the only one I ever don't watch. And I'm sorry, Garrison. I'm sorry, Jason. I know you would, you know, give your firstborn for your Raiders to be in the Super Bowl again. But, man, I just don't see it.
I think the Chiefs, unfortunately, with their history, I don't think are a very TV-friendly team. So I'm going to put the Chiefs in that same scenario. I'm going to have the Chiefs as the AFC representative. And then in the NFC, it's tough because I think all of them are fairly marketable. I think if the Lions somehow were able to make it through, it would be kind of an awful Super Bowl. But to go realistically, I think Chiefs-Falcons would be sort of a low-rated, not very interesting. There's not a whole lot of storylines there. There's no polarizing players. So I don't know if I guess Julio Jones is the only polarizing player that comes to mind. Jamal Charles, of course, would be one if he was in there, but he's not. So that would be, to me, one of the worst potential Super Bowls. Now, obviously, if the Texans make it, they'd be up there too, but I think the Texans have no shot. So I think as far as a realistic option, I think the Chiefs Falcons would be an awful Super Bowl.
Yeah, I could see that, especially the Chiefs part. I think that the great thing about the Falcons is because they have such a good offense and such an average to bad defense that even the Alex Smith-led Chiefs could put up some points against them. So I could still see that being a, you know, 50-plus combined point total. I think the one that would kill it for me would probably be if it was the Seahawks and the Chiefs, just because you could easily see that being like a 12-9 Super Bowl. And you want to talk about things that make the NFL lose sleep. It's the idea of a 12-9 Super Bowl. So, yeah, that would be pretty near my top of the list. I mean, if Kansas City, I mean, they're the number two seed. Obviously, they're a great team. They legitimately could make the Super Bowl. And I say the same thing about the Seahawks. So you're right. I think that's a good call. I think my worst probably Super Bowl would be the 12-9 fest of of Kansas City and Seattle.
Yeah, that would be awful. Now, I have a friend that's a Chiefs fan, and he's already agreed to come on next week for the fan battles thing. So I'm sure when he listens to this podcast, he's going to have something to say to me tomorrow.
Hey, man, you know, I love the Chiefs. One of my uncle is a huge Chiefs fan. He was born and raised in Missouri. So, I mean, I have a lot of love for the Chiefs. I mean, they're a great organization. Obviously, like I said, they have one of the best home field advantages in all of sports. But they're just... I mean, they have Tyreek Hill. That dude is really fun to watch. But he's like the only guy on the team that's any fun to watch. Like, I cheer for Eric Berry just because of everything that he's overcame and, you know, what he's had to do to get to where he is in life. I mean, that game that they had a couple weeks ago was just epic. But, I mean, I just I do. I really see that being like a 12-9 Super Bowl. And the idea of that just makes me want to claw my eyes out.
All right, man. Hey, that wraps it up. I want to thank you again for coming on. I know this wasn't what we prepared for. It was kind of off the cuff. But I think it turned out really well. I think, you know, I always enjoy talking football with you. I know, like I said, I've had you on a few times. You were on the famous draft podcast that never actually happened because the audio was destroyed. But you came on, did the preview show, you know, had your Packers at 13-3. I really appreciate you coming on sort of spur of the moment, sort of last minute preparation.
No, absolutely, Jeff, man. Thank you, as always, for having me on. I mean, it's always great to talk football with you. And, hey, hopefully we will be hearing from me again next week in that fan battle.
Yeah, we'll definitely get you on. I'm sure I won't have any problem at all finding a Cowboys fan wanting to come on and talk trash because that seems to be what they do, even if they're losing.
Oh man, every Cowboys fan has come out of every, you know, every nook and cranny they've been hiding in. I mean, I like I said, I live in Dallas. A good buddy of mine said, "Where did you get that Cowboys shirt?" Oh, it's been in my closet for how long? 5 years. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. I think it was, you know, like they're always one of the top teams, but when it's a situation where they're actually in the hunt, you just feel like everybody is suddenly a Cowboy fan. It's like that that meme where Homer goes into the hedge and comes back out with the Cowboys star on his chest. That's what it's like living in Dallas. You people, you don't even know. I one time got hassled at a liquor store trying to buy something using my Green Bay credit cards. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't think that if you put a link out there, hey, is a Cowboy fan out there, you'd get 20 responses in about, you know, a minute.
Agreed, agreed. And I'm sure they would show up. So, all right, man. Hey, thanks again for coming on. Like I said, hope to have you again on next week. My wife's a Packers fan, so if I have you on, that means the Packers won. So I'm sure she'll be happy. And as we all know, a happy wife is a happy life. So let's hope the Packers win.
Yeah, man. Go Pack Go.